Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to bring you a message tonight, a little bit different from usual. About once a year, it seems like the Lord begins to deal with my heart on this subject. A lot of times, should be a lot more often we mention it, but about usually, once ever so often, we'll preach a message along these lines. And the Lord's been dealing with my heart lately about it. And I'm going to talk to you tonight on a subject that's the most important subject as far as what we're doing in this world's concerned. Every church, anytime a church gets its mind and its eyes off what I'm going to talk about tonight, it ceases to become a New Testament church. It quits becoming the church that God wants it to be. No matter how intelligent they get, no matter how spiritual, so-called, they get, when they get their minds and heart, and we get our minds and heart off of the subject I'm going to talk about tonight, you cease to be right in the plan of God. Matthew chapter 28. The words of Jesus spake to his disciples before he went back to glory. And he told them here in Matthew chapter 28. Look at verse number 18. Let's back up at verse 17. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 17. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He told his disciples, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Now, what he just got through commanding them was go to all nations and get them saved and baptize them. And then teach them what he had taught these disciples. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And before we pray tonight, please, let's have everybody's attention. No talking, young people. And moms, please, keep the kids just as quiet as possible. And we don't need any moving in and out while we bring the message tonight. I want to bring you a message on the Great Commission. Let's bow our heads while we pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for our health and our strength, all the many, many, many blessings of life, God, that you've given us. Lord, I don't guess a one of us here tonight. We don't realize how fortunate we are and how blessed we are. God, how good you've been to us tonight. We thank you for it. I'm glad, Lord, that you're God on the throne. I'm glad, Lord, that we don't have to hunt for God or look for God, but we know that who you are and where you are and what you are and what you're doing in our lives. We thank you tonight for the Bible. God, we realize that it's a lamp in our feet and a light in our path. Thank you for the church, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to be a part of it. Unworthy but yours. Amen. God, I thank you tonight, Lord, that we've got a privilege to serve you. But God, we realize we have an awesome, terrible responsibility tonight to get the gospel out to every creature. Help us, God, to take it seriously. Help us, God, to be obedient. Not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word of God. Challenge our hearts tonight in this subject. We'll praise you and thank you for it all. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to talk to you tonight by the help of the Lord for a little while, just briefly. This will not be an average message. It's going to be brief and to the point. I want to try to challenge your heart tonight on the subject of missions. This is especially to our church members here tonight. However, if you're visiting with us, I'm sure that you could stand to have a greater vision for this world than what we have. What did Jesus Christ mean when he said, told those disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel? When the Lord said that, he said that with no country reserved in his mind. There wasn't a place on earth accepted when Jesus Christ made that statement. Somebody said not long ago, it's a sad day that you can go to Alaska, and the first thing you see when you get out at a depot is a Coca-Cola sign. And there's not a church within miles. Coca-Cola has done more to evangelize in the world with their products than the Church of Jesus Christ has in a lot of predicaments in a lot of cases. I want to talk tonight about missions. I want to talk about how you can become a missionary. I believe every Christian is a missionary in a certain sense of the word. And every person in the world is either a missionary or a mission field. You are either a missionary or else you're a mission field. You're trying to reach somebody or you need to be reached. One of the two. Everybody in the world fits into one of those two categories. What is missions? You remember the old long time ago when I was growing up, they had a show come on TV and the name of it was Mission Possible. And brother, it come on with that old scary music, you know, detective-like type show. And it'd come on, you know, and it'd have this little tape recorder where this guy'd go into his closet somewhere. He'd get that tape message, say, go on down here to the corner of 34th Street, turn left and go in the phone booth. You'll get your instruction. And in that phone booth, he'd get out a little piece of paper or turn on a tape recorder, call a certain number, and he'd say, here's a picture of a certain man. He's been tried, you know, for murder over in America, you know, and now he's been to Hawaii and back, and your job is to catch him and trap him. That man had a mission to go on. It's like an expedition, a trip. A mission is a definite job that a definite person has been commanded to do with a definite command. A person or group being sent out with authority to perform a special duty or task. A church that is not a mission-minded church has no right to call itself a church. A church who does not believe in missionaries. A man just told me the other day, he said, up here at our church, they're always talking about taking up money for them people overseas. And he said, I told them I was just going to quit that stuff. He said, I told them there wasn't no sense in it. We got people right here at home that need help. Now, I agree with him on the last part. We do have people here at home that need help. But I don't agree with him on the first part. Jesus said to go into all the world. And we are do our dead level best to make sure the gospel of Christ goes into every possible place in this world that can possibly go in. We're failing on that, folks. And one of these days, we are going to stand and give an account to God for not putting out the Word of God more than we have. Every Christian is a missionary. There's not a person in this room that couldn't get you a handful of tracts. And when you pull up and get gas at a service station, give the man that puts in the gas a tract. Not a one of you. There's not a person in this room that couldn't leave a tract on the place where you work. There's not a person in this room that could not be a missionary for the Lord Jesus. Roy Lee, stand up there just a second. See that guy right there? Now, I know he don't look like much. Do you know what he is? He's a missionary. You say, oh, he ain't no missionary. That's Roy Lee. Yeah, Roy Lee's a missionary. You know where he's a missionary to? Baxter, North Carolina. That's in North Cove section of McDowell County. And it's full of slop, ain't it? I mean, it's full of cussers and adulterers. And it's full of whoremongers and dopeheads and queers and all kind of stuff like that. He's a missionary to that place. You can be seated. You say, oh, Roy Lee ain't a missionary. Oh, yes, he is. God's got him up there, and it's his job. And if those people that he's around don't hear the gospel, you know who's going to give an account for it? He is at the judgment seat of God. You're a missionary when God saves you. I'm going to talk about it tonight. The Bible said we are ambassadors for Christ. Whether you like it or not, when God saved you, He made an ambassador out of you. God made you an ambassador. You say, what's that? The highest ranking representative from one country to another. I remember sometimes you might get on an airplane and all of a sudden there's a real distinguished looking dude gets on there. He's got dark glasses, a nice suit. He's got a briefcase about that big and on there, a round big seal on there. It'll say ambassador from England. And boy, he'll get on there and he'll hold his head up. And he'll take his seat in the first class section and he'll sit there. He ain't on a pleasure trip. He ain't on a joy ride. He is sent from business from England to America. Now every Christian is just that. We ought to hold our Bibles and our head up high tonight. And we've got a message to this world. We're not on a joy ride. We're not on a pleasure trip. We're not on a vacation. We're on a mission, folks. We're only going to be down here in Marion for a few years.
You know, there's a lot of people in Maine don't like me. You'd have never thought that, would you? But I know for a fact, and I about cried when I heard it, but I know for a fact that there are some people in Maine that don't like me. And you know how come I don't lose a whole lot of sleep over that? Because I know that it's done been 10 years since the Lord saved me, and the next 10 will go by faster than this 10. I ain't going to be here that much longer. I'm on a mission to do. I've got a course to run. I'm just passing through. I ain't going to live here forever. I'm going to drop my anchor on the other side of Jordan, and I'll live there forever. I'm just a pilgrim and stranger passing through. And while I'm here, brother, I've got a job to do. And if I quit preaching every time somebody criticized me, I wouldn't preach 2 weeks. If I got my feelings hurt and said, well, I ain't going soul winning no more because I knocked on somebody's door and they wouldn't let me in, I'd quit after the first week. If I got my feelings hurt every time I offered somebody a tract and I said, I ain't going to do it no more because they turned me down or they cussed me or something like that, I'd never do it long. But I've made up my mind that I'm only going to get one whang at this thing, and I only got one life to live, and I'll soon be standing before God, and I'm just going to ride back and get me a good deep breath, brother, and fly it as hard as I can go and try to be a missionary for God. Now, like I told you before, the world's going to burn up. And we've all got a bucket of water. And when the Lord comes back, I don't want to be standing with my bucket full. It may burn up, brother, but I want my bucket to be empty. Now, tonight, I'm going to talk to you about being a missionary and what we can do to help missionary. Basically, there's two groups of Christians. Those that God calls to the mission field, and those that God calls to stay home and work and support them that go. Everybody in here is in one of those two groups. If God has not called you to be a missionary, maybe to Africa, maybe to China, maybe to India, God has called you to take part of your income and work and support them that are called. Now, there's no arguing about that at all. I can prove you that from the Word of God. In the book of Acts, the church sent out the missionaries. They didn't even have a mission board sending them out. They didn't have no such a thing. The church sent out the missionaries. The church sent out preachers. The church sent out Paul and Silas. There's one day they're praying and fasting, and the Holy Ghost said, how'd you like that? The Holy Ghost said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas, for the work that I've called them to do. And brother, they wasn't no picking them out, you know, and said, I think you'd make a good one. The Holy Ghost called them. The Holy Ghost ordained them. The Holy Ghost licensed them. The Holy Ghost gave them authority to preach. I heard a man tell me the other day, he's down Morgan, and he'd been talking to a bunch of Mormons, and they said, this young man told him he was a preacher, and God called him to preach. And they said, you ain't got no authority to preach. And he said, oh, yes, I do. God called me. And they said, no, you don't have an authority. I want to say that's a bunch of hogwash. How'd the first man get any authority? God had to start it somewhere. If God calls a man to preach, he has every bit of authority he'll ever need. God don't call you to preach. Every man in the country can lay hands on you. Ain't going to help you none. And I wouldn't want them laying hands on me no way. Demon might get around me or something. I'm here to say tonight, every Christian is a missionary. Our message is not to bring the whole world to Christ. No, no. Don't you think that a minute. We're not going to convert the world to Christ. Matter of fact, that's not even our job. Our job's not to bring the whole world to Christ. Our job is to bring Christ to the whole world. It's up to them whether they accept Him or not. Our job just to take Him. I've had a lot of people tell me, they'll say, well, Brother Danny, I used to visit, and I used to come to visitation, but I had a few doors slammed in my face, and I just decided it wasn't doing no good, and I just quit. No, no, no. You ain't going to get out like that when Judgment Day comes. Our job is to take it whether they listen, whether they don't, whether they accept it, whether they don't. Our job is to carry the Word of God. The Lord will give the increase. The Lord will take care of those kind of things. Our job is to preach it, brother. Our job is to tell it. I'd say that we're going to be ashamed one of these days at the judgment. There's all kinds of things everybody in here could be doing for the Lord, putting out the Word of God. I heard about this lady. She is in a wheelchair. And she got right with God and called a preacher and said, how can I tell somebody else? You know what the evidence of being filled with the Holy Ghost is? You'll witness. If you don't have a desire to witness, you ain't never been filled with the Holy Ghost. The first thing a person does when they get filled with the Holy Ghost is want to tell somebody else. Now, this lady, she called a preacher and said, I want to do something for the Lord. She said, I can't get out here and knock on doors. I can't even hardly write. I can't do anything. He said, you got a telephone? She said, yes, sir. That's what I'm talking to you on. He said, you got a phone book? She said, yes, sir. He said, start out in the A's. And brother, she started out, I remember, A's. And I don't know if she ever got everybody in McDowell County or not, but she just started down the A's. Call them. Hello, this is a Christian that cares about you. Are you saved? Boy, that'd shake up your day, wouldn't it? If you was lost out yonder, you know, and a big businessman, you come in with a hangover and flirting with the secretary and everything, the phone ring, are you saved? You know, you don't want to slam it down. That old girl got on the telephone, brother, and she done something for Jesus. And you women sit around, watch soap operas and claim you ain't got nothing to do. I've said it before, I'll say it again. A woman that'll sit around and watch soap operas all day, there is something wrong with her somewhere. I can't hear you. You say, well, I'm guilty. Well, I quit. Ain't my fault you're guilty. I'm here to tell you, I'm trying to keep you from having to be ashamed at the judgment. You will be if you waste your life. Same thing goes with a man about football. That's a good one, ain't it? I've been giving them soap operas down the road. How about football game? I tell you, it'll drive you up the wall from now about Mark. Boom, 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 boom. That's all they do. Get up and fall down. Get up and fall down. You say, what's wrong with a football game? Nothing, but they ain't no use going hog wild crazy over it. I believe, if I read this Bible right, what's supposed to be first is the Lord Jesus Christ. I know some Christian people that's plumb fanatic over sports. And all you hear is don't say beer, say bull. And Budweiser and Miller Lowe Life and all that kind of stuff. That's all you hear on those things. You say it's a sin to watch a ball game? No, if you ain't got nothing better to do. I usually have something better to do. I tell you, you need a little exercise. It'd do you good to get out and run around your house 5 or 10 times. But I'm here to tell you, well, them being hooked on sport, as soon as football's gone, basketball's in full swing, as soon as it's over with, baseball, and man, that's all I can think about. Oh no, I gotta get home. Lord, if you're gonna bless the day, you're gonna do it before 12 o'clock, cause the Reds and the Bengals play at 12:30, and I gotta be there to watch them. I tell you, it's plumb sickening. Some of you men here tonight, you ought to make up your mind, you are not gonna let that stuff control you. Anything that controls you is a sin. Beside Jesus Christ. I don't care if it's eating. I don't care if it's coloring a coloring book or working a puzzle. Anything that controls your emotion and got a grip on you to where you can't serve God like you ought to and rules your life, brother, it's wrong for you. Thank you, brother. You know somebody's last words ought to mean something to us. Grandma dies. She said, just one thing, son. Anything, Grandma. What is it? Take care of my old milk cow. I mean, no matter what Grandma said, you'd try to do it, wouldn't you? You'd say, Grandma, I'll do my best. And you know what the words of Jesus Christ were, the last words? Boy went back. Go tell them. Go tell them. Tell them I died for 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 them. Tell them the good news. Preach the gospel to every creature. Tell it, tell it, tell it, tell it on the job. Tell it on the telephone. Tell it writing letters. Tell it every way you can tell it. Just tell the word of God. All right, there's two ways, or three ways right quick, that you can work and be a missionary. Three ways. Number one, by working. Let me say something to you parents tonight. Never, ever, ever, ever discourage your child. If you got a child that thinks God's called them to be a missionary, you better not try to discourage them. I'm looking for God to call some missionaries out of here. We done got 1, 2, 3, 4, four men out in full-time work from this church, and I praise God for it, but we ain't never seen nobody go to the foreign field. I'm praying that the Lord will do that. Call some young man, some young lady, somebody. I want God to do it. And brother, He will if we'll get usable and call in distance. A man told his daughter one time, he was a doctor, and she came in, she said, "Daddy, the Lord's called me to be a missionary, and I'm going to China." And he told her, he said, I think her name is Kitty. He said, "Kitty, you must never get out of my sight. I love you. And Kitty, I forbid you to ever get out of my sight." A few years later, he got a disease and went blind in a bat. And the preacher started dealing with him. See, she took her daddy's advice and got married and settled down and had two kids. And the preacher went and seen him and talked to him. And he said, "Preacher, I know what's happened to me." He said, "I kept my girl from going to the field where God could use her." And he said, "I told her she'd never get out of my sight." He said, "Now I can't see her at all." He said, "If I'd have let her go, at least I could have seen her when she come home on furlough. Now I can't never see her at all, and I can't see nothing else either." He said, "I would to God I'd have let my kid go when God called him." There's a lot of parents, if God called their son to preach, they'd resent it. "No, you ain't going to be no preacher, are you? Oh, you don't want to go over there and live in them huts with them heathen. Don't ever do that. Let them work." Somebody asked a missionary in Africa one time, "Do you like it?" He said, "We don't like living in dirt, crawling into huts through goat manure. We don't like poison water, stinking meat, and no refrigeration. But we have orders to be here." How come everybody says, "Well, if you like it, it's whatever you like." No, it ain't. It's whatever God says. You say, "Well, I believe we should get a little enjoyment. We're going to get billions of years of it. We get to heaven. Now's the time to do what God wants us to." You can be a missionary. There's work to do. Hey, I'll give you a thought. There was only one out of the 12 apostles who didn't become a missionary, and he became a traitor. Something to think about. I heard a man say one time that he's in Jacksonville, and he went out there and where they had these big old lifeguards standing, people out there swimming, and he said all of a sudden he saw a lifeguard jump up on his stand and waved the red flag so they could see him at the main lifeguard station. And he went running across the sand and swam out there with one of them little lifesavers and threw it around some guy and dragged him in. And he said he went in there to congratulate them at the lifeguard station on what a good job they were doing. They pulled out 8 or 10 that day. There was a strong undercurrent, undertow. And he went in there and he congratulated them. And he said he saw a sign when he walked in the lifeguard station. It says, in great big bold red letters, "When in doubt, go." And the message was, if a lifeguard just happened to think, just a little inclination, that there may be somebody drowning, to go. And he said, wouldn't it be good if the church would take a challenge like that? When in doubt, go. Brother, a lot of time we drive up and down the road, we see people out in the yard, we don't know whether they're saved or not. A lot of times we say, they're probably saved. I see them, they go to church down here, so and so. When in doubt, go! When in doubt, go! You don't never know when one of them might need to get saved. You say, "Well, I'm scared to go." Well, you know what the Lord said here, don't you? He said, "Lo, I'm with you." David Livingstone, one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived. God may be dealing with somebody's heart right now about being a missionary. I don't know. But David Livingstone, one of the greatest missionaries that ever lived, he went into heathen jungles, brother, and it's a wonder he hadn't got killed. God hadn't protected him a million times before he did. Somebody asked him, they said, "Man, you're crazy. You ought to stay in England." They said, "What's kept you here all these years?" He said one verse, Matthew 28, "Lo, I am with you always." He said, "That verse has sustained me night and day. I claim it every day that Jesus is with me. I'm not here by myself." The postman said one time, he's going to deliver the mail, and somebody said, "Ain't you scared you're going to get mugged?" He said, "Listen here, brother." He said, "I'm the postman. I work for the United States government. And he said, let me tell you, brother, he said, if I just have one postcard in my mailbag and somebody attacked me, the whole United States would be on that duty. He said the police, the special services, the FBI, the government would be on his case. He said, ain't nobody going to mess with me. All the power of the United States is behind me. And I read that, I thought, hallelujah, amen, glory to God. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. When you go out in the name of the Lord, all the power of heaven is with you. Do you know that? When you go out and take out tracks, brother, just these boys going down the trade lot, and giving out a few tracks, all heaven's power is behind you. You think about that. Jesus promised that, and he cannot lie. Lo, lo, I'm with you always. We ought to take that personal, you know it? We ought to take that to us. I remember over there in Tennessee, we was in Knoxville one time, and I was getting ready to preach, and the devil said, you can't preach here. And there's a bunch of old businessmen, people walking up and down the street, secretaries taking their lunch break, and the devil said, you better not preach here, boy, they'll put you in jail. And it felt like when I got ready to stand up, it was just a 100-pound weight on my shoulders. And brother, I began to claim that verse, lo, I am with you. Lo, I am with you. And I said, Lord, you promised you was with me, and I believe you're with me. And I stood, brother, because I knew there's somebody beside me. We can take that personally. An old Chinese boy got saved one time, and you know how their names are. And his name was Lo Hang Wong Chong, something like that. Anyway, his first name was Lo. And brother, he come in a shouting one day, and he said, whoa, Lord of God, my name's in the Bible. And they said, where's that? And he said, right here, the Lord's with me. Lo, I am with you always. And brother, you know, we can take that personally tonight. I don't care if your name's Bill or Sue or Toby or whatever your name is. Jesus said, Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. A lot of times we don't act like we believe that, but it's true. Africa, 56 missionaries per million. South America, 30 missionaries per million. Korea, 20 missionaries per million people. India, 15 missionaries per 1 million people. We need to work. Second thing we can do is pray. The Bible says, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers into the harvest. Ain't that right? The Lord said, the fields are white. Harvest needs to be reaped. You need to get out and pray that God will send forth laborers. I don't know why the Lord give us so many preachers. I appreciate it. I wish, I'm like they said in the Old Testament, I would to God all the Lord's men would prophesy. I'm here to tell you tonight we need to pray that God will call more and send more. $800 million communists going to hell. I felt the same way you felt the other day when Russia shot down that plane. My first reaction, and still my first reaction, is we ought to blow them off the map. A lot of times something in my soul says, some people are going to hell. Somebody need to tell them about God. 800 million communists going to burn in hell. You say, well, them dirty low down. Yeah, but Jesus died for them just like he did me and you. And you was just as dirty low down before you got saved. They're going to hell. Their soul. Jesus died for them communists. We ought to pray that God will send missionaries. 700 million Muslims don't know God. 1 billion people in India and China. That's a slew of them. You know that? We ought to pray. You know how come a lot of people won't pray the Lord will send laborers in the harvest? You know why, don't you? I mean, I can tell that some of you know why that people won't pray that prayer. Because the first thing you think when you start praying like that is, what if he tells me? I've done it. I know what I'm talking about. I've got down and I said, oh, Lord, send somebody down there to Haiti. Someone says, boy, you better quit praying like that, son. Eli will tell you to go. Do you ever get like I do? Do you ever get about ready to get close to the Lord? And then right before you really get in there with him, something says, back off. They ain't no telling what he'll have you doing if you get in that close. Yeah. You ever have it, do you? You mean you get so close to the Lord and you think, boy, I want to really get right, Lord. Do you really? You sure? I've got up close to the Lord and I'm almost ready to step into the glory. And right before I step, something says, if you get in there, he'll make you go in roses and start screaming and hollering. I'm scared he'll make me do something like that. And a lot of times I shy away from the power and the presence of God. I'm ashamed to tell you that. Every once in a while I kind of get a wild streak in me. And I say, amen, who cares? They talked about me before I got saved. They talked about me after I got saved. There ain't no way to please everybody. You only got one life. Just haul off and try to please God. Pray that He'll send forth missionaries. Then the third one. Right quickly. I want to be brief. Number one, you can work. You can witness. You can knock on doors. And let me back up there to point number one. Ain't nothing says I have to go to three right now. Now, if I was in seminary, I'm here to tell you, friend, I'll tell you how to witness for the Lord. I learned a lesson from Jack Howells a long time ago. And regardless of what you think about Jack Howells, don't amount to anything. I learned a lesson from him a long time ago. And he taught me this. He said, you ought to witness some of the time, all the time. And you ought to witness all the time, some of the time. You understand that? He said, you ought to witness some of the time, all the time. In other words, every day of your life, you ought to be able to put in a little witness here, a little work, all the time, you witness some of the time. But then, some of the time, you set you aside a little time, and don't do nothing but witness. You witness all that time. You witness all the time, some of the time. And some of the time, all the time. That means if you got 60 hours, say, in a week, you want to witness some of the time every day. But there needs to be a time set apart, say like 2 hours or 4 hours, when you don't do nothing but witness that whole time. Now, I know what I'm talking about. I've tried it both ways. Me and Brother Dickey was discussing this the other day. If you say, well, I'm going to visit, and I know I ought to, and I'm going to see old so-and-so, I've been laying off to go over there and talk to them. You know what will happen to you? The devil will keep you busy. You'll have to put out your garden. You'll have to paint the house. You'll have to harvest the garden. You'll have to work on the car. There'll always be something for you to do. The only way you'll ever defeat that is set you a certain time and say, when that time comes, come hell or high water, I'm going busy. It's the only way you'll ever do it. If you don't do that, you will not visit long, regular. You won't do it. You say, I just believe in being led of the Lord. Well, I believe the Lord would lead you to set a time aside every week and witness. You know what? You know how come we have Sunday school at 10 o'clock? We have set that time aside. From 10 o'clock to 12 or a little after, or whatever we go to, that is church time every Sunday. Now, what if I got up here and I said, now, folks, we don't believe in getting on no schedule on this church. Y'all just come whenever you feel led. We ain't having no certain day or no certain time. Just come when God leads you. Some of you come in Tuesday evening. Some come in Saturday morning. Some come in, get a little spare time. Some of you wouldn't come at all, would you? You know what setting the clock, 10 o'clock Sunday morning does? You commit yourself. You know when that time comes, it don't matter if a house does need cleaning up. You leave it and you go to church. Now, visiting is the same way. You are going to have to set you aside a time and say, when that time comes, I am going visiting. And unless you're in the hospital or something terrible comes up that keeps you, if you don't do that, you'll never be a good witness for Jesus. We have two times set aside at this church. Thursday morning at 10 o'clock. Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Thursday morning from 10 to 12. Thursday night from 7 to 9. Those are 4 hours a week. We have a chance as a church to let you go out and tell somebody about the Savior. We have done that because of you and to help you. And it's your job to respond to that. And it's your job to be faithful to that just like you would Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. And God will bless you if you will. All right, number three. First, you can work. Some of you didn't like me talking about what I just got through talking to. And you're going to like this part, and then there's other people ain't going to like this part.
Praying is the second thing. The third thing is giving. If every Protestant tithed, you could put a Bible in the hands of every person on the face of the earth in less than 10 years. That means when I got saved in 1973, if some ever Christian in America, or ever Protestant in America, would have begun to tithe his income 10%, no special offerings or anything, just his 10%, by tonight, every person in the world would have a Bible. You say, how come we ain't getting the job done? You want me to tell you? There's just a few carrying the load. The average Christian tonight never gives one dime to missions. You say, I can't afford it. I can't either. Well, what do you do? I give it anyway. Somebody said, I can't afford to tithe and then give a mission offering. Listen, brother, you can't afford not to. You are to be a steward over God's money that He's entrusted you with. You men here tonight, some of you make $300 a week. And you don't give a dime to mission. You don't think God's going to ring your bell one of these days? You say, well, I'm a living right. I quit cussing. There's a lot more living right than quitting cussing. People get and go into comas, quit cussing. I don't mean you're saved. People get in car wreck and get paralyzed, quit cussing. There's a lot more to being a Christian than not cussing, not drinking. A man said one time, he said, I don't believe in foreign mission. I just help my neighbors. He said, I believe in just helping out them whose land joins your land. I live out here on the farm, and I help this neighbor, and I help that neighbor. That's all God expects of me. And the preacher said, well, you go that way, right? I said, yeah, you go that way, right? And he said, well, how far does your land go down? And the guy said, I don't know. Middle of the earth, I reckon. And he said, well, that's right. Goes all the way down the middle. Your land joins some Chinese. They're your neighbor. You help your neighbor, huh? Well, did you know directly under our feet tonight, how far is it through the world? 6,000 miles? 25,000 through the world? I thought that was random. I don't know. Ever how far it is through the world, down below us tonight, there are Chinese people walking upside down. It's true. They really are. You don't believe that? You get you a globe. We are. They are one. I reckon that's how they fell up this way. Turned them upside down. But in all seriousness tonight, there are people whose head is pointing that way. And some of them sticking out on the side of the world. And some of them sticking out on that side. They're all our neighbors. And they say you don't believe in it. A guy said one time, he said, oh, I don't believe in joining a church. I'm saved, but I ain't joining a church. And they said, well, how come? And he said, the dying thief didn't join a church, and he was saved. And he said, I don't believe, what do you think about giving a mission? He said, I don't believe in giving a mission. The dying thief didn't give any money. He said, man, the only thing different between you and him, he's a dying thief, you're a living one. Did you know God blesses you if you'll give? Amen. That's right. God will bless you. A guy one time, he'd give money right and left. I mean, every Sunday. He'd dump in his 10%, and brother, he'd throw in a big offering on top of that. He'd give about $50 extra every week. And brother, when the missionary come, he'd help them out. And brother, somebody said one time, he said, how in the world can you afford to give like that? Seems like God just blesses you. And he said, well, I tell you, I just keep shoveling it out, and God keeps shoveling it in. And he said, the thing about it is, God's got a bigger shovel than I have, and that's how come He's blessing me so much. As fast as I can shovel it out, He's shoveling more in. That's how it works. You cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. About 2 years ago, we started Faith Promise Mission Offering here in this church.
That's what them little brown envelopes are on the back of your pew. And brother, every month we set aside a certain amount, not our tithe, not our offering, but over and above that, that we give to mission. When we first started that out, I started out with a certain amount. Lord laid it on my heart to double it. About last year, I doubled it. I didn't hardly have enough money to pay my bills, and from week to week, and keep the kids doctor bills and dentist bills and clothes and all that kind of stuff. And brother, every time that thing come around, it seemed like I was broke, but if I had somehow put it in, God always blessed me, and God always took care of me, and I've added more to it since then, and God's still a shoveling it in every time I'm faithful to give to Him. You know what happens to some people? They say, I'm going to start giving. They do it about two times, then they quit. Then they get in a financial disaster and wonder what in the world's wrong. A lady one time, she said, she come up, boy, and she just probably, you know how people are. People are crazy nowadays. She come up and said, Pastor, did you see my new diamond ring? He said, yeah, I saw it when you throwed that nickel in the mission offering plate. And Lord seen it too. Hey, lady, God sees that Agner pocketbook. And then that dollar in that brown envelope. God sees that Johnny Carson suit. And He sees that $2 in the offering plate. He said, what's wrong with having an Agner pocketbook? I don't care if you got 20 of them. Just give God what God wants you to give. I don't care if your tongue is Agner. I don't care if you eat out of an Agner bowl in the morning. I couldn't care less if you wear Wegians or Nikes or Converse All-Star, brother. Who cares? Wear what you want to. But I'm here to tell you, put God first. Put God's money aside first. When I get my check cash, you can ask the lady at the bank. She probably sees me do it and wonder what I'm doing. I get my check cash, I take out them tithes and that offering, I roll it up, stick it down in this little part right over here, and brother, that's God's money. That comes off the top. That's God's money. That ain't my money. I ain't got no right to spend it. I ain't got no right to do anything with it. That's God's money. And I believe that a need of every local church in this world could be met if everybody in the church would give like they ain't no use going out selling cupcakes and a bunch of rags that we won't wear ourselves to the sinners, try to get their money. God's plan is for tithes and offerings to support His church. I remember reading a story about Sir Robert. He's a pretty rich man. He graduated from Cambridge University. Had a college degree. He lived in a little old one-room shack with a dirt floor and had a box for his bed and a box for his table. He gave all kinds of money for missionaries to start, plant new churches. Somebody asked him why he did that one time, and he said, I'll gladly make my floor the bed and a box my table and a box my chair that men should not perish for want of the knowledge of Christ. I realize you've got to, if you're a Christian nowadays, you've got a terrible responsibility. You've got to have a home. You've got to have a home for your family to live in. A home is one of the greatest investments you'll ever make in your life, money-wise. It's going to cost you a fortune. Son, it don't sound like much when they say we're going to let you have this for $25,000, but you ain't getting it for no $25,000. Time you get it paid for, it'll be more like 75. You've got to have it. There's no getting out of it. In our society, you can't take your kids up here in the woods and just live there. It just won't work. I don't think God wants us to. They'll put you in jail and the state will take over your kids. You've got to have clothes. To me, one of the biggest waste of money in the world is clothes. It's the biggest waste. See, is that to me? I'd buy the same thing every day. There ain't no sense in wearing a tie. Ain't no sense in it. You say, how come you wear it? Just keep people from running their mouth any more than they do. People expect it out of a preacher, and I don't want to offend people. And I spend all kind of money, and I ruin these things. 7 days a week, man. I'm up here screaming and hollering or soaking wet. Some of them I got at home will knock you down. And I take chairs, too. Some of them you don't even have to hang up. Just stand them in the corner. They've dried and sweated so many times. I mean, you've got to do it. I catch one on sale, lay it away, and pay on it 6 months, and get it out and wear it till it wears out. But to me, personally, that's a big waste. And a certain thing, you've got to have clothes. You've got to. We have to make certain adjustments to preach in this old world. Do what God wants to do. I mean, there's just certain things you got to do. I'm not saying that we should all move in huts and wire sheets. People, you ain't going to get nobody saved like that. They don't think you're crazy. You start acting like that and, you know, going barefooted and eating out of trash cans and stuff, they really are going to think you're nuts. You've got to provide a living for your family. You've got to have a car. I mean, to get back and forth to work, get back and forth to church. That's just the way our society's set up. Ain't nothing we can do about it. But I want you to know something tonight, folks. When it really comes down to it, an eternity in view, souls going to hell, I believe it'd help us all to put more in God's Word. Let's bow our heads. Now tonight, I'm going to ask our pianist to come play something softly. We're not going to give a formal invitation, as usual. I'm just going to let you stay right there at your seat tonight. And I tell you something else I'm not going to do. I'm not going to try to get you to commit yourself tonight. As far as verbally. Because I know after a message like this, I could get a lot of quick decisions. But I want it to be real, and I want you to mean it. While she plays very softly, I want you to search your heart. We're going to go in just a minute. We'll let you go. First of all, I'd like to know, is there one here? Say, Brother Danny, I've let up on my mission giving. And I know that deep down inside, God wants me to give. And Lord's been good to me. And Lord, give me a good home and a family, house to live in. I've got clothes on my back, heat in the wintertime. God's been good to me. Brother Danny, I'm going to start back by the grace of God. Would you pray for me? Would you slip up your hand? God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I appreciate that. There may be someone here tonight say, Preacher, I have never really done anything. I don't witness. I don't give. I'm really, to be honest with you, ashamed of myself. But by God's grace, after tonight, I will, by the grace of God, try to witness, try to give. You say, I don't make any money. You set aside $1 a month. It's better than nothing. Right now, we support 15 missionaries. If everybody in this church would give like they should and could, we could double that in the next month. Double it and make it 30. We'll be glad we did at the judgment. Ain't a dime of it going to this church. Ain't a dime of it going to me. It's going straight to them boys preaching out there across this world. You might say, Preacher, pray for me. I need to do it. Slip up your hand. God bless you. 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 Amen. God bless you. Amen. Somebody else. Amen. All right, we're going to pray. Father, help us, Lord. Lord, I'm not trying to get an emotional stir started. I just pray we'd deal with the facts and face up to them and start doing what we know we ought to do. God, help us to give. I thank you, Lord, for taking care of me. I got no complaints, Lord. What mess I've been in, it was my fault. God, I thank you for supplying my needs even when I ain't deserved it. I praise you for it, and I pray that I'd never forget that, and I'd put you first. Amen. Amen. All right. Brother Tony, y'all come up here just a second. We didn't give an invitation tonight. I hope you got something settled right in your heart. Let's all stand. Brother Tony Parker and Sister Teresa Parker have come to join the church tonight. And we appreciate them. I appreciate them all my heart. I don't want to embarrass Teresa, but I saw her doing something here the other Sunday.